To God be the glory. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to a couple of different scriptures. I want you to turn in both New Testament, Acts chapter 11, and also want you to turn to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So Acts chapter 11 first, and I want to read one verse there for us, and then we're going to read in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7. Say amen where you've located these scriptures. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. And then Philippians chapter number 4, verse 6 and 7. Let's read the book of Acts first. So I'm going to read the first part of this paragraph, and then we'll invite you to read the second part. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So it was that for a whole year they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. Let's read together.
And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch.
Amen. And let's look at Philippians 4, 6. Again, directing your attention to the screens. Be anxious for nothing, but by all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I want us to read this last one together. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. I would that you pray with me this morning on the title of this message, The Benefits of Being a Christian. The benefits of being a Christian. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that these words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended. May hearts be encouraged. May minds be illuminated. May souls be convicted, we pray. Touch everybody, O God, and yet I pray that you would even save somebody, even on YouTube and Facebook, God. Stretch through the television screen. Stretch through the phone screen, the tablet screen, the computer screen, whatever the device they're listening on. I pray, God, that you would touch them even as they sit or lie or dwell at home, wherever they may be. And God, for those who shall listen even later by way of radio and television on Comcast and WIMG, I pray that these words, oh God, although delayed in broadcast, will be fresh and relevant when they listen to them. And so, Lord, have your way right now, and we will be careful to render glory, praise, and honor unto your name. In Jesus' sweet, marvelous, and wonderful name we do pray. Let all of God's people, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I am particularly excited after baptizing Janet and Latifah this morning. I don't know, there was something special when I met with them last week, not only about them individually, but about their friendship. And the fact that they decided to let God move them together as friends, as sisters in Christ, is incredibly encouraging to me. Amen. It reminds me that we don't have to walk this world by ourselves, that there's somebody who will stand with us and stand by our side. And so, Latifah, I'm proud of you, young lady. God bless you. She got a pretty smile on her face, and I said that. Look at that. And Janet, we're certainly thankful to God for you, and we praise the Lord for their friendship. On this first Sunday, I want to continue to journey through different places in the Bible. And some of you who've been with us this summer in the last several months know that I have talked to us about different dwelling places. I'm a big believer that space matters. Cornel West said that race matters. I'm a big believer that space matters as well. There are good memories for many of us in certain spaces. Some of you may go down the seaside, and it may be the first time you strolled on the boardwalk with your honey. So every time you go by seaside, or even get by a boardwalk, it may remind you of when you held his hand or her hand for the first time. Now, y'all can look at me funny, but I know some of y'all are out there like that. Or it might be a special movie, and you remember where you were when you saw that movie. But just as there are good memories in certain spaces, there also can be some difficult memories in certain spaces. And so I believe that in order for some of us to move forward in our lives, where God wants us to go and where God wants us to be, some of us may have to go back to certain spaces that may have been difficult for you to conquer the memories of that space. I've spoken to some folk who said, listen, Pastor, I've had, even in church, some negative experiences, and it's hard for me to be in certain spaces because of what it reminds me of. And I've said, I understand. But at the same time, I want to simply deposit within you the idea that I don't want you to let people, nor do I want you to let places block you from getting the blessing God has in store for you. We've even had this conversation, pastors and I, friends of mine like Pastor Toby Sanders and Pastor Lucata Unjumbe and other pastors, Reverend Karen Hernandez Grandson and Pastor Paul Rayberg and Bishop Stokes at the Episcopal Church, Episcopals, Presbyterians, Baptists, black, white, Hispanic, have come together to do what we initially called a murder walk. We've since changed that to a victory walk. But part of the challenge was that we would get with mothers and fathers, particularly mothers, whose children had been murdered on a certain corner in Trenton, on a certain street in Trenton. And we said, could it be that if they are ready, that we could walk with them to that space where blood may have been spilt, but we can take the anointing oil of God and pour in the space where blood and life was taken, and we can ask God to reframe and recapture and repackage and renew the space that is painful for that mother and or father, that we can then conquer that space so that when they walk by that space, drive by that street, they may not be hunted by the memory of this is where my son or my daughter died, but they also may be reminded that the same God who kept them will be the God who will walk with them as they go through this space and this journey. And so I'm convinced that there are spaces, there's much to be learned from certain spaces that we have in our lives, and there's even much to be learned from certain spaces, even in places in the Bible. I started off by talking about certain locations, certain cities. Several weeks ago, I talked about how this city and that city mattered. Nineveh, what do we learn out of Nineveh? Well, Jonah runs, and he departs from God's call upon him, but God uses a great fish to get Jonah's attention and to move him back onto where his call may be. So Nineveh might be a reminder of what it means not to run away from the call that God has placed upon your life. God has a way of getting our attention. Can I get a witness in here? There are other places in the Bible. I spoke last week about the terebinth trees at Mamre, how Abraham sat under the terebinth trees and three men showed up out of the blue. And I told you that part of the lesson I believe that we learned from Abraham and in the place called Mamre is to be careful how you treat people, because you never know how you might be entertaining an angel unaware. And there's a list of places that I put forth, put the screen up, these places, whether it's the Garden of Eden or whether it's the land of Ur, whether it's Jericho and Joshua marching around, what it means to be specific to the instructions that God gives you. He didn't tell Joshua to march around five times. He said seven times. And on the seventh time, blow your horn. What if Joshua had been disobedient and only marched around six times? Would the city have fallen down? I don't know. I believe God can still do what God wants to do whenever God chooses to do it. But I believe that there's a certain lesson that we learn in certain places. And what is the lesson that you and I learn at different spaces and places along our life journey? Today, I want to talk about a place called Antioch. And very simply, I want to share with you that Antioch is famous for many reasons, but the main thing that you and I should take out of Antioch is that is the place where we, the believers of Jesus Christ, were first called Christians. Why is that significant? I believe it is significant because heretofore they had been... Different names have been ascribed to the followers of the crucified so-called Christ. Remember, there was a lot of folk back in Jesus' day who claimed to be the Christ, the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Jewish promise. But no one had proven themselves the way this man, the son of Mary, the stepson of Joseph, had proven himself. When you begin to turn water into wine, that gets folks' attention. When you begin to multiply fish and bread and feed thousands of people, that gets folks' attention. When you begin to lift folk from their bed, their ability to give folk sight from the ability, from the disability of being blind, that begins to get folks' attention. Simply put, I believe your actions speak louder than your word. You don't have to go around saying you're a believer. Just be a believer, and the Lord will demonstrate his power. Jesus captured and arrested the attention of many believers and many naysayers and critics, and they came to conclude that even his worst critic, that there's something unique about that one that died at Golgotha. And those that followed him. And so after his death, Peter and Paul, the biggest propagators of the faith, there was debates on what these folks should be called. Some folk called them the followers along the way. Why is that the case? Because Jesus made a bold declaration that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except, but there's only one way to get up there. Come on, somebody. And so some begin to mock the believers and say, oh, they consider themselves the way because they think they've got the way. Others simply called them heretics because they were believed to not follow the Jewish doctrine. Even though they were Jewish, there was something that Jesus did in their lives that said that my Judaism, my Abrahamic teaching, my life in the Torah is not enough. There's something else that's been changed in my life. And so even the Jewish believers said he's the fulfillment of the Messiah. And yet it was in Antioch, this location in Asia Minor, what we call now the Greek islands, that the Christians, the believers, the followers were first called Christians. And so now we take this word for granted. But even after they were called Christians, it didn't mitigate the fact that they were going to be abused and they were going to be ridiculed and they were going to still be talked about. How many of you know that no matter what name you put out there, if you follow Christ and believe in the authority of the blood of Jesus, some folk are going to talk about you. Some folk are going to look at you funny. Some folk are going to try to do you wrong. But you need to understand that if you know who you are and whose you are, you don't have to worry about how other folk respond to you. Just be who God has called you to be, and God will give you some what I call benefits. Yeah, I do believe there's some benefits that you get. A lot of us want to look at the in our cost-benefit analysis of being a Christian. We think that there are more costs than there are benefits. But I'm here to declare that in being a Christian and being a follower of the Christ, you've got some benefits, and you need to know that your benefits outweigh your deficits. You need to know that you've got more going for you than you've got again. You need to know that the greater is the God that you believe in, who's inside of you, than the enemy and the demons and the detriment and all of those naysayers and blockers and haters and all of that doesn't compare to what God wants to give you. I need someone to understand that you've got some benefits. Say it with me. I've got some benefits. Amen. My insurance package does not compare to my assurance package. Can I say that again? My insurance package does not compare to my assurance package. I've got life insurance with Prudential. I've got some disability insurance with Guardian. I've got some other life insurance with AAA. But it doesn't compare to my blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory. I may get some money out of my insurance, but I'm going to get eternal life out of my assurance. We've got some benefits, and one of the benefits, I believe, that we learn in Antioch. We learned it in Antioch. They were first called Christians in Antioch. And so I believe that one of the benefits that we get from being followers of Christ, not that the name, the appellation, the nomenclature, not that it meant anything, that I believe the benefits were still there even before Antioch. If any man calls on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. Paul said, if you profess the Lord with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You got that benefit no matter what they called you. Come on, can I say that again? They can call you Tom, Dick, and Jerry. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I know who my help, where my help comes from, and I know who my Savior is. I know who my deliverer is. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Call me Christian, call me this, call me that, but I know what God has done for me. So as I, there's some benefits, and I believe that one of the main benefits is your ability to go to God in prayer. And so I wanted to use Acts 11:26 to just set the stage for the place, but I also want you to understand the benefit is really laid out in Philippians 4:6-7 that says, "Be anxious for nothing." Be anxious for that. So don't be perplexed. The first word I want to leave in your spirit, write it down on the back of your program. I want you to write down this word, perplexity. Perplexity. Secondly, I want you to write down this word, prayer. Very, very, very clear. And then lastly, I want you to write down this word, peace. Perplexity, prayer, and peace. I believe that in matters that perplex us, that God says, just tell me all about it, and I'll deal with the situation. And while I'm dealing with the situation, I will give you peace. And so perplexity, I want you to just imagine with me for a moment the things that perplex us. There are many things in life that perplex us. We don't always understand why we go through certain things we go through, when we go through them, and why we're going through them. I'm perplexed by some things I'm going through, and I'm sure you're perplexed by some things you're going through. And you need to understand that the perplexity doesn't go away because of the timing of the issue or the magnitude of the issue or the who of the issue, right? All of that doesn't matter. Some things will perplex you. As faithful as you are, as faithful as I am, as I think I am, there's some things that all of us are going to go through that will perplex us. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Don't let nothing perplex you. Don't let anything perplex you. perplex you, because perplexing means that your spirit is confused and your mind is discombobulated. I need you to understand that when the things that come into your life begin to perplex you, you need to understand, I got to keep it together, because the God that died for me on Calvary's cross did not die for me to lose it now. I got to keep it together. I got to hold it together. Even though I don't understand it, I'll understand it better by and by. Grandmom used to say, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God shall be gathered together at home, I shall tell the story of how I made it over by and by. There's some things you're not going to understand even for the rest of your life. And yet you cannot let those things you don't understand perplex you. Some of us go through stages of perplexity. Anxiety might be a stage. Worry might be a stage. Doubt might be a stage. But I don't care what word you put in there. Be anxious for nothing. Be doubtful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. No matter what it is, put it in the formula. I don't want to reduce God's word to a formula, but understand the scripture is clear. Be anxious for nothing is not the word of anxiety that I'm focusing on. It's the word nothing. That means all inclusive. It means there's nothing that falls out of the realm of nothingness. That means that in your experiences of life, just throw it in the pot. If it pops up, throw it in the pot. But understand that even that you cannot be anxious for. I don't care. Let me say it this way. There are things major and there are things minor. There are things mundane and there are things momentous. Whatever the range of your thing, I don't care how big it is or how small it is. You ought to be anxious for nothing. You even that, I need somebody to say even that. Even death, I'm not supposed to be anxious about. Even unemployment, I'm not supposed to be. Even cancer, I'm not. Even my naysayers, I'm not supposed to be anxious. Even my backbiters, I'm not supposed to be anxious. Even this, even that, I don't care what it is. Be anxious for nothing. Be perplexed for nothing. But by all prayer and supplication, tell God about it. Lord, you know this mountain I'm climbing is big, and my shoes on my feet can't grip the side of the mountain. Grandmom used to say, I'm climbing up the rough side of the mountain, but I'm gonna, help me out, Betty, do my best to make it in. No matter how steep the mountain is, no matter how low the valley is, I'm going to tell God all about. Lord, you know what they're saying about me. Lord, you know what they're doing to me. Lord, you know what I'm going through. I don't have to tell you. You already know it. But because your word says I'm supposed to tell you, I'm going to get into my prayer closet and I'm going to tell you all about it. Come on, somebody. Yes, some of y'all need to have a talk with Jesus. Instead of going on Facebook, tell Jesus. Instead of going on Instagram, tell Jesus. Instead of going on social media, tell Jesus. Don't go on social media to tell them what you're going through. Go on social media to tell them that you've been brought through. Tell the Lord all about it. Tell God all about it. God wants to hear you talk to him. Has anybody talked to him lately? I mean, had a real honest dialogue with him where you didn't care and know what the other folks thought about you. You were talking to the Lord. But by all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Can I add that piece in? Don't forget the Thanksgiving. Because as bad as it could be, it is. Maybe it could have been a little bit worse. Instead of focusing on everything that went wrong,
try hard to find a little bit of something that went right and say, Lord, in the midst of all this, I'm still going to give you thanks. How many of you know you got something to give thanks for? Even though you haven't gotten over the mountain, you're still on the side of the mountain. You haven't fallen off the mountain. So even though I haven't gotten over the mountain, I haven't fallen off the mountain. Lord, I thank you. There is always something for which to give God thanks. That's why I say even the most pessimistic person, I want you to dig deep down and find something optimistic about the situation. I know it may be difficult. I know it may be challenging. But how many of you know there's thanksgiving that you need to give God? So, benefit being Christian, First Call Christian at Antioch, benefit of being Christian, I can take my concerns to the Lord. I don't have to go through anybody. I can take them straight to God. Be anxious for nothing but by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Brings me to my third point. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and guard your mind in Christ Jesus. One of the great benefits is that I can have peace in the midst of my storm. One of the great benefits is I can stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. One of the great benefits is that God will fight the battle. And all I got to do is just lift up my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Because before I know it, he's moved the mountain. Before I know it, he's built the bridge. Before I know it, he's healed my body. Before I know it, he's answered my prayer. Has anybody ever had prayer answered? Before you know it, God has stepped into the situation, and now you got peace. You can walk around like everything is going to be all right. Has anybody got peace in the midst of their circumstance? Even the breakthrough hasn't yet happened, but you're walking around like you got it all together. Come on, somebody. Before I get my breakthrough, I'm going to walk in authority. Before I get my breakthrough, I'm going to stand in belief. Before I get my breakthrough, I know God will make a way out of no way. And when I get my breakthrough, and when I get over, and when I get out, I'm supposed to praise him like I've never praised him before. Has anybody ever gotten a breakthrough? Has anybody ever been brought out? Has anybody ever been brought through? When you get over on the other side, you're supposed to praise him. For the Bible says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace that surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ Jesus. He will guard you. He will guard you. I think about my children. Like many of us, there's not too many things that will get me like messing with a man or woman's children. But even that, I've had to take some steps to know that even them, there's some things I can't do for them. But I can pray God's peace upon them. And once I put them in the hands of God, I've got to walk in peace and believe that the God that made a way for me is the same God that'll make a way for them. As much as I want to do, there's some things I can't do for them. I've got to put peace that surpasses all understanding will guard us. The shalom. Your heart and your mind. And here's the part I really like about it. It surpasses all understanding. There's some things you won't understand. There's some things your naysayers won't understand. How did he get out of that? How did she get over that? All you can do is say, favor ain't fair. When you're on the Lord's side, he'll fight the battle. He'll make a way. And when he does it, just point up to God and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. So I leave you with this message today on first Sunday of August. The benefits of being not just Christian, but the benefits of being a believer far outweighs anything else the world can give you. So as you remember these words today, I want you to think about God's goodness, grace, and mercy upon you. But you need to practice some things. Don't let everything perplex you. Go to God in prayer and walk in your peace in the name of Jesus. Let God say, let the people of God say amen. Stand to your feet. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that it would not return void. I pray that someone here today would take hold of what you've given to us, that we may stand fast upon your word. Bless your people, that these words may accomplish that which you intended. We love you, Lord, and we bless you now. Thank you for what you've done for us on Calvary's cross, even in Antioch, to say that we are followers of Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father. Now, if there's someone here under the sound of my voice who doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you and have the benefit of a relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen. Everybody standing to the feet. Deacons, deaconess, help me extend this invitation. Choir, go ahead and lift up your voices as we bless the Lord. These invitations are extended. If you don't have a church home, I invite you to come. If you want watch care or restore, we want you to come.
This is my song.
Raising. Praising, look at God. Somebody give God a praise offering. Somebody put your hands together and give God a praise. Put your hands together. Give God a praise for two people. may be seated.
This is my song.
Just take it down a little bit, Betty. Keep playing. Keep playing. Listen, as we get ready to close the invitation, know that it's never closed. We always extend the invitation for someone to come. But if you don't have a church home, you're out of fellowship, you believe in Christ, but you're out of fellowship of a church, we would love to have you prayerfully think about coming and being with us here at the Shiloh Church. We're not perfect. There's no perfect church. But will you find a church that is Bible preaching, Bible believing, and trying to be filled with the Spirit of the living God? We want you to give that church a try. And so if you're that person and you don't have the church, we'd love to have you come. Secondly, if you need to restore your membership here or you want to be under watch care, we would love to have you come. But the most important of these invitations is if you've never professed belief in the Lord Jesus before, I want you to know that God sent his only begotten Son to die for you. And so the love of God through Jesus is a personal one. And he wants you to have that personal relationship. And so we want to offer that to you. Forget whatever's behind you. Come on and give us your hand and give God your heart. So choir's going to sing one more verse of this. And as they sing, I want to extend these invitations one more time. Now come on, sing it like you know it. I want you to personalize it. This is my story.